This is Contemporary Communications Conference. My name is Jerry Fielka. We welcome Walter Bauart, modern thinker, researcher, and author of the book, Operation Mind Control. Hi, Walter.
Hi, Jerry.
You filled out a survey that I circulate. On this survey, why did you pick Bob and Carolyn Dean as people from history to visit you if you were cast away on a deserted island?
Well, since I don't know any aliens, Bob and Carolyn would stimulate me about as much as anybody I've ever met. So I always would like to have an alien visit me. But since I don't know any to invite, I invited Bob and Carolyn.
And in what regards would they stimulate you?
You know, Bob's a medium, and so is Carolyn. And Carolyn is a highly disciplined medium in the sciences. And Bob is a medium, a spontaneous creative medium in the liberal arts area, I guess it's been called. And they complement each other, and they come as a team and a couple, set of bookends there. And between the two of them, the entire history of the world exists. You got a problem, ask one or the other. I mean, Carolyn cured me, healed my gallbladder. I mean, they wanted to take it out. And I called up Carolyn, and she said, take these. I had a hard time.
Over the phone.
Over the
even
phone.
A personal visit.
I had a hard time finding my some kind of roots she got and stuff. I would, you know, it took me about 3 weeks
some
to get the stuff together, you know. But I had
an herbal
remedy. And I followed it, and she says, okay, you got them now? Okay, take these teas and do this and that. Herbal remedy, and I didn't. And I had the stones, and they wanted to rip open my body and take my gallbladder out, as is the standard thing. And Carolyn gave me these herbs and softened the stones up, and then I'm on the phone. She says, call me in 2 weeks. So I call her in 2 weeks at the office. She says, well, did you do this and this and this? And I said, yes. She says, okay, now take I want you to take a cup of olive oil or something. I think it was olive oil. You know, olive oil, oil in the gallbladder. And when you have it, wow. So I took and drank a cup. She says, now you stay on the phone. I drink this cup. Wham, this pain hits me. I double on the floor. Drop the phone. And then it was gone. She says, how are you feeling? Okay. Yeah. She says, well, you passed the stones. You don't have to have the gallbladder surgery. So, I mean, she knows her stuff. You know, and she's a great, great doctor. She's the only doctor I trust. You know, don't tell anybody.
Okay. Now, in a past interview you did with Bob, you called him a mutant. Well, what does he have to offer? It's evident that Carolyn offered you some very positive medical advice.
Yeah. Well, Bob understands a process. I think Bob doesn't know what he knows, you know, to tell you the truth. I'm always discovering his study of Finnegan's Wake. He's the only person alive that I know that has really understood Finnegan's Wake. And, of course, he also is one of the few people that really understand Marshall McLuhan. He has captured a dimension of Marshall McLuhan and absorbed him and become him and then enhanced and innovated and gone further and expanded McLuhan. It's like, what was it, Aristotle and Plato? Plato came after Aristotle, and Plato was the apologist. Was that right for Aristotle?
I'm not sure. Sounds right.
Or, you know, and so was Socrates in there somewhere. But anyway, one guy, the younger guy, was the guy that made the great master, the older guy, available to everybody, explained him. He was the apologist. I think Bob is the apologist for McLuhan.
Uh-huh.
I think through Bob, we can understand Marshall McLuhan the way we couldn't understand Marshall through Marshall. I mean, I couldn't have sat there with this guy in the tweed suit and this Catholic trip, you know, with no sense of humor. He had a sense of humor, but it was so wry, you know. And, you know, I didn't spend much time around him, but I'd see his son and, you know, Eric, and he's sort of very academic. And Marshall was very academic, and though I've read his letters and I've studied him a lot since his passing. But Bob is a living, creative, dynamic, entertaining, wonderful. I think he's an idiot savant.
Very good. Now, you've said in the past that that you don't understand him. And do you think that really you do understand him somewhat?
Well,
with
I understand.
That statement,
I understand some of the part of the process, but I don't think he understands him. I think it's such a living, creative, dynamic process that if you were involved in saying, "I know what I say and I say, you know what I mean," thing, if he was involved in that process, he wouldn't be doing it, doing what he's doing.
Right.
I think he's truly a medium. I think he's definitely he's highly playful. Remember what Isaac Asimov said, if we meet in a more advanced civilization, we'll know it because there'll be one of the things that will be clear is that they're very playful and mischievous. And Bob is very playful and mischievous. I think he is an alien incarnated in
a human
body.
Many times the reactions to listeners to his radio show, they say, is he pulling our leg?
I think somebody's pulling his leg all the time. I mean, interdimensional leg pulling is going on here. I think this guy is a great source of wisdom. And it's not, I don't want to get his ego. I don't want him to puff up. And pretty soon we have to ask him for autographs and things. You know, I don't want to see that happen to him.
He doesn't know how to write, don't worry.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you believe a conspiracy?
What?
Do you believe a conspiracy?
A conspiracy. Well, I love Emery's thing about the whoopsie daisy
theory of history.
And I was saying that the other day to one of the monarch victims, and it triggered her because daisy and flowers are used, in the thing. And she went off into altered personality, But what do you got? I mean, a conspiracy is a history. History is a conspiracy,
Well, the next question is, do you believe the conspiracy?
The conspiracy. Yeah, I believe the conspiracy.
Do you believe in conspiracies?
I don't believe in it. I mean, I don't want to give it any energy whatsoever. But there are so many levels. I mean, all of life is conspiracy. On one level or another, I mean, the three of us or the four of us here in this room, this is you could probably be arrested for this, I mean, this is a conspiracy of something to do I'm not sure, but
if the thought police could only hear us now.
Yeah, but I mean, here we have good intentions. I think that's probably illegal.
Yeah. Why did you not listen to Bob Dobbs this past Saturday morning?
Oh, I was there to hear the Brain Mind Symposium thing, doing getting ready for a lecture and talking to a bunch of people I hadn't seen in 25 or 30 years.
What if you were in a vat of vomit up to your neck and someone threw a bag of shit at your head? What would you do?
I'd probably hold my breath as long as I could.
Tell me something good you've never had and you never want.
That's a good one. I've asked that question.
Tell us some of your good answers.
To so many people that I'm polluted. I can't answer it honestly.
Tell us what Forbes said. Malcolm Forbes?
No, Armin Hammer said that. He said, you tell me what it is, and I'll tell you whether I want it or not. I'll tell you whether it's good. So he wasn't going to let anybody make his mind. I asked Johnny Carson that. And he said, man, that's great. I'm going to use that, he said. And he looked over at Alex Moss, who hadn't married. He'd just gotten a divorce at the time when I asked him, and he said another marriage, and he was lying. But you could tell the answer to that always just shows your sort pattern, how you sort.
Right. I've had many good answers, and one of them is, tell me something good you've never had and you never want. And an older woman said, a spiritual higher being.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. That's a
good one. What if you learned a truth you didn't want to know? What would you do?
I already have learned lots of
truths.
I didn't want to know. And you try, you maintain your flexible, your behavioral flexibility, and keep shucking and jiving and dancing around until you finally find something that works.
Keep dancing. What's more important, compromise or conviction?
I think you can't have one without the other.
That's very good. The last time I asked you that, you said you can't compromise unless you have conviction. Oh, that is sort of the same answer.
Yeah.
So you said conviction.
Yeah.
Is ambition based on fear or joy?
My cousin, who is very successful in several companies, multimillionaire, self-made guy, said that success is the journey, not the destination. So I would think it's based on joy. But our government people are saying that Madison Papers said that fear, if you want to keep a country together, you got to have a outside pose an outside danger. And the Iron Report from Iron Mountain, of course, says that when the commies aren't under the bed, we're going to have to drag out the aliens from overhead to motivate.
Should toilet paper go over the roll or under?
I think toilet paper will be printed on one side and we sell advertising space. Because when your pants are down and you're sitting on the john, you're at the most highly suggestible time in your life. More suggestible than any other time. And that's where to spend your advertising dollars, when you got them with their pants down.
You got it. Okay, the last question is, if you, Walter Boart, were ruler of the world, what would you do on your first day?
First of all, I'd give everybody a pardon and start the slate clean, right? And I'd start a massive education campaign to let people know that the universe is perfect.
Well, thank you, Walter Boart, for participating in this interview.
Thank you, Jerry. It's been fun.